Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Aloha and welcome to Free Inside with Brother Bulla Eastman, an outreach of the prison ministry of First Assembly of God Honolulu. Now, let's join Brother Bulla for tonight's message of truth.
Aloha no, everyone. Brother Bulla here once again, sharing the good news with you. I want to welcome all of my brothers and sisters tonight. Mahalo for tuning in. I'd like to give a shout out to the Berean and Friday Chapel boys up at Halava, to the Waiava boys, especially those in Module 10 Cashbox program, my FDC faithfuls, Bible study every night at 6 p.m. You know who you are. And to our good friends all over the United States and our good friend Danlin up there in Ogden, Utah. And to anyone else who's listening tonight. Maybe you just got home from fighting the traffic, going out to the west side. Maybe the kids are in bed and you're just at the kitchen table chilling out. Thank you for listening tonight to Free Inside Ministry. We're the prison ministry of First Assembly of God, Red Hill, Honolulu. We have a passion for the Lord with a vision to reach the incarcerated, the broken, and the lost, and to preach the gospel to every person. We share the word of God and words of encouragement each week to all those that are incarcerated in the facilities located on Oahu. We also minister to our brothers in Saguaro, Arizona, and are headed there shortly to visit with them again. You can check out our website at www.freeinsideministry.org, where you can find all of our recorded programs in a podcast format to download for your listening enjoyment. We also have a Facebook page, and that name is Free Inside Ministry, and we have an email, freeinsideministry@gmail.com. If you have a chance, drop me a line, send me a suggestion, or just let me know if this program is reaching anyone that you know, or if it's touched anyone that you know. You know, our anchor verse for our Free Inside Ministry: "For I know the plans I have for you, declared the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans for a hope and a future," in Jeremiah 29:11. And he goes on to say, "In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes. I will gather you out of the nations where I sent you and will bring you home again to your own land." Tonight's message, and it's getting close to Easter, but the word that the Lord placed upon my heart to share with you this evening, and this is right after we just talked about the healing has begun last night. Well, tonight, the title of the message is Take Up the Cross. To follow Jesus, what does that mean? In this life, what do we really follow? Jesus said that if we are truly to be his disciple, we are to take up our cross daily and follow him. But what does that mean? In the Jesus book in Luke chapter 9, verses 23, "Then he tell all of them, whoever like stick with me, they got to make up their mind that they're not going to be the boss anymore. Going to be hard. Just like dying on top on cross every day. And then they can stick with me." To understand that, we need to understand the meaning of the cross in that time, historically, to give us a perspective. You see, today the cross has lost most of its original meaning. Today it's shrouded in religiousness and what I call religiosity and mystery. It has become many things, from a religious icon to even a fashion element. When we see the cross today, it is a symbol of faith, particularly the Christian faith. But in the time when Jesus made this statement, he had not yet died on the cross. So if you want to look at it in its original context, the cross was a symbol of death. Actually, it was a symbol of a very cruel death. The Romans reserved the cross or the crucifixions for their very worst criminals. You see, it was a form of torture and humiliation, ultimately leading to a very long and a very painful death. So why would Jesus, Brother Bulla, why would Jesus use the cross to illustrate what it meant to follow him? Well, I believe that Jesus intentionally used something as gruesome as this to get the attention of the people. He did this to say that following him was not going to be child's play. This is not going to be a game, and it wasn't going to be easy. In fact, it would cost you to follow him as a disciple, but on the other hand, it will cost you even more not to follow him. So what does it mean today then if we bear the cross? See, often we hear people say they have a cross to bear. Some will say, my cross is my parents. And if you ask the parents would probably say, our cross is our children. They identify whatever the problem or the obstacle they have as their cross to bear. But you see, that's not what the cross means. The cross symbolizes one thing, dying to self. It's really a paradox. You know, when you say by dying to self or losing yourself, you actually find yourself. Through death, you find the abundance of life. What does it mean, Brother Bula, to die to self? Well, so much could be said, but allow me to give you a few practical examples of how this might work in day-to-day living and how we would die to self, and this would apply in today's world. To bear the cross means forgiving instead of holding that grudge. To bear the cross means resisting the temptation to do what everybody else does. To bear the cross means not having sex before marriage and to be faithful to your spouse after you're married. To bear the cross means putting down the remote control and picking up your Bible. To bear the cross might mean praying when you would rather be sleeping. To bear the cross might mean to swallow your pride and telling someone about Jesus. To bear the cross might mean doing what God wants you to do instead of doing what you want to do. Now let me ask you, are you dying to yourself and taking up the cross? The fact is, when we actually do this, when we actually take up the cross and die to ourselves, we do experience joy. We do experience the overflowing abundance of life. You see, Paul summed it up the best when he wrote in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, when he said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. In the Jesus book, it says, just like I went mocking with Christ on top of the cross. Now, that's not me that stay live no more, but Christ, he stay live inside of me. I get the real kind of life that stay to the max now, forever, inside my body now, because I stay trust God's boy. He get plenty love and aloha for me, and he will give himself for mocking for me. You know, it's very true that Jesus said to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. But Jesus could not carry his cross, and neither can you. Let me say that again. Jesus could not carry his cross, and neither can you. You see, Jesus fell under the load of the cross. It was too heavy. He was weary. He was exhausted. He was physically challenged after the beatings he had sustained. And he got to the point where he was unable to carry it another step. Oh, Brother Bula, we've seen the skits. We've seen the TV shows. Jesus is carrying the cross. I agree with you, my brothers and sisters. My beloved, I agree with you. He was carrying the cross. But you see, the Bible does not tell us how far Jesus carried his cross. For we do know that they compelled Simon the Cyrene to pick it up and carry it to the place of crucifixion. You're going to find this in Matthew 27, verse 32. In the New Living Translation, along the way, they came across a man named Simon, who was from Cyrene, and the soldiers forced him to carry Jesus' cross. And they went out to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull. In the Jesus book, it says, when they going out from Jerusalem, they meet one guy named Simon from Cyrene town. They tell him he got to carry Jesus' cross. They come by the place they call Golgotha, that means the skull place. You see, Jesus did take up his cross, and he was led by his tormentors like a lamb ready to be slain. But he couldn't carry it all the way. He couldn't carry it the whole distance. The truth is, Jesus was too weak. Jesus was very frail. He had been beaten so badly, he could not carry the cross any further. It was laid on another one's shoulder. See, Jesus had reached the end of his endurance. He was physically broken. He was physically wounded. He was a man. And there's only so much that one person can take. There's a breaking point for all of us. But why did they compel Simon to pick up the cross? Was Jesus just lying on those cobblestone streets like a lifeless man with the cross lying over him like dead weight? Did they kick him? Did they try to prop him up and attempt to force him a step further? But did he just lie there with not enough strength to move an inch? His cross had become too heavy to bear? Well, Brother Bula, what does this mean for us? Would our Lord make us do something that even he could not do? Did he not say, "Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple"? A cross is a cross, be it wooden or spiritual. It is not enough to say his cross is different. Our cross is spiritual. My beloved, look at what this is really talking about. This should give you a great hope. This should give you encouragement to know that Jesus could not take up his own cross. It encourages me to know that I'm not the only one when I get burdened and pounded down to the ground, unable to go anywhere. I stay back up against the wall. The world is on top of my head ready for bust. My skull is all raging inside. It's good to know that even Jesus could not take up his own cross. If we're going to identify with the crucifixion, we must also identify with the steps that led to the cross. We must face once and for all the truth that no human being can carry his own cross. Even Jesus could not carry his cross. So if we're going to believe in the crucifixion and more so in the resurrection 3 days later when Jesus arose out of the tomb, because we celebrate the resurrection, not the crucifixion. But if we're going to celebrate all of that up to that point, then we have to realize and we have to identify with the crucifixion to the point that no human being can carry his own cross. I don't think there's any hidden interpretation. Jesus knew exactly what he was saying when he called us to take up our cross and follow him, because he remembers his own cross. He remembers that another will have to carry it for him. So why would he ask us to show their cross that he knows that's going to crush us to the ground? He knows we can't carry it all the way in our own strength. He knows about the agony. He knows about the pain. He knows about the helplessness. He knows about the burden that a cross can create. There's a truth hidden here that I want to share with you. And it is a truth that is so powerful, it could change the way we look at all of our troubles, all of our challenges, all of our situations, anything that hurts us. And even though it might also sound sacrilegious and suggest that Jesus did not carry his own cross, that is the truth. He carried it, but not all the way. See, what it means to us today is that Jesus, who knows us, he had to experience everything for himself, what it was like to be weak. Jesus had to experience what it was like to be discouraged. Jesus had to experience what it was like to be unable to go on without help. He was in all points tempted, just as we are. The temptation is not in failing, not in laying down the cross because of weakness. The real temptation is in trying to pick up that cross and carry it on our own strength. That's what we do a lot of times. We're going to do it our way. We're going to do it my way. You see, but look, listen to that again. The temptation is not in failing, not in laying down the cross because of weakness. The real temptation is in trying to pick up that cross and carry it on our own strength. God could have supernaturally lifted the cross and magically levitated it all the way to Calvary. He could have taken the weight out of the cross and made it like a feather, but he didn't. The crucifixion scene was not a series of blunders, and although Christ died at the hands of sinners, the entire plan was born in the heart of God from the foundation of the world. God put Simon there ready to play his part in the plan of redemption. God was not caught by surprise when his son could no longer carry the cross and thus fulfill prophecy. God knew Jesus would take up his cross, follow toward Golgotha, then lay it down. You see, my beloved, your cross is meant to bring you down. I'll say that again. Your cross is meant to bring you down. God knows that not one of his children can carry the cross that they take up when they follow Christ. We so much want to be good disciples. We want to deny ourselves and take the cross upon ourselves. We seem to forget that the same cross will one day bring us to the end of our human strength and endurance. Would Jesus ask us on purpose to take up a cross that he knows will take all of our human energies and leave us lying helpless on the ground, even to the point of where we would like to give up? Absolutely, yes. Jesus told us already, he forewarned us, without me, ye can do nothing. John 15:5. So he asks us to take up our cross, struggle on with it until we learn that lesson. Not until our cross pushes us down into the dust do we learn the lesson that is not by our might or power or strength, but by his power and his grace. That is what the Bible means when it says his strength is made perfect in our weakness. It has never meant that God's way is a little better than ours or that his strength is a bit superior. It means that God's way is the only way. His strength is our only hope. Jesus looks upon the world filled with confused children going about trying to establish their own righteousness, trying to please him in their own way, and he calls for crosses. The cross is meant to break us. It's meant to drain us of all human effort. We know we are stronger than Simon, who will come at our breaking point and take over their burden, but he cannot take over until we give it up, until we come to that point where we cry, God, oh my God, I can't go another step. I am broken. I'm exhausted. My strength is gone. I feel dead. God, I need you. I can't go on without you. God, I've done everything I can. God, I need you. You see, that's what it comes to. It is through his strength at our time of weakness. See, Jesus, you know, loneliness for many of us can be a cross. It can be a cross if it becomes a burden too heavy to bear and it finally brings us to the end of ourselves. It's then that we let the Lord come down to reach us. Loneliness is a good thing if it makes us weak enough to want only his strength. You have to carry our cross. We have to learn how to carry that cross until we learn how to deny. The one thing that constantly denies and hinders God's work in our lives, what would that be, my beloved? The economy? No. Family? No. Instructors, teachers, ACOs? No. Bosses, coworkers? No. We have to learn how to deny. The one thing that constantly hinders God's work in our lives is self. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. See, we're misinterpreting this message if we emphasize self-denial. That is the rejection of material or unlawful things. Jesus was not calling upon us to learn self-discipline before we take up our cross. It's more than that. He was asking us to deny ourselves. This means that we have to deny our very own ability to carry any cross in our own strength. In other words, we don't take up our cross until we're ready to reject any and every thought on becoming a holy disciple as a result of our own effort. I believe Jesus actually saying to us, before you take up your cross, be ready to face a moment of truth. Be ready to experience a crisis by which you will learn to deny yourself and your self-righteousness and your self-sufficiency and your self-authority. You can rise up and follow me as a true disciple only when you can freely admit you can do nothing in your own strength. You cannot overcome sin through your own willpower. Your temptations cannot be overcome by your self-efforts alone. You cannot work things out by your own intellect. It is through me. So we have to get to that point in our lives where we have to get ready. God is telling us, get ready to experience a crisis. And it is in this crisis that we're going to learn how to deny our self-will. It is in this crisis that we're going to learn how to deny our self-righteousness. It is in this crisis that we will learn how to deny our self-sufficiency. It is in this crisis that we will learn how to deny our self-authority. But you know what's interesting, my beloved? Jesus didn't force the cross on us. He says, let him take up his cross. Never once does our Lord say, stoop down and let me lay a cross on top of you. Lie down on the ground, I'm going to bury you with the wood. No, Jesus is not in the drafting business. His army is all volunteer. Not all Christians carry crosses. You can be a believer without carrying a cross, but you won't be a disciple. Those who suffer will reign together. I'm not glorifying the suffering and the pain, only the results that they produce through the pain and the suffering. When we get rid of our self-sufficiency, when we get rid of our self-will, we get rid of our self-righteousness and our self-authority. It is through that pain, just like Paul, we should look at the trials and the hurts that we are experiencing and rejoice in the knowledge that we're going down the only path that leads to ultimate victory and maturity. No longer then do we look at our burdens, our troubles, our challenges, our accidents, our penalties, but as a cross that is offered to us to teach us submission into God's way of doing things. If you're hurting right now, my beloved, if you're hurting right now, my brothers and my sisters, you are in the process of healing, just like we talked about last night. The healing has begun. If you are down, if you're crushed under the burden of a heavy load, get ready. God is about to show himself strong on your behalf, and you are at the point of revelation. At any time now, your Simon will appear because God uses people to perform his will. Someone is going to be compelled by the Holy Spirit to come into your path or suffering, reach out to you, and help you lift your burden. My brothers and my sisters, we come into the facilities every week giving you the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And every time we go there to encourage you, not discourage you. We don't go there talking about a big religion. We don't go talking there about a big church. I go there and I preach the good news. I tell you about a big God that we serve. I don't care what choices you've made. I care about what choices you can make. I don't care about what you've done. I care about what you're going to do. I can't reverse the hands of time. I can't go back in history, but I can help you in your future. I can help you get where you need to be. I can help you where you want to be. It is through me, the Lord. The Lord uses me as a willing vessel, not a vegetable, although that'd be good. The Lord uses me as a willing vessel. I know better than anyone else, but it's not about capability. It's about availability. God's not going to do for you what you can do for yourself. You got to get up. You got to get right, and you got to get straight, and you got to get ready. You got to get in alignment for your assignment. You got to get ready to bear that cross. You got to get ready for a breakthrough. I didn't say a walkthrough. I didn't say a swim through. I said a breakthrough. You got to break through something to get through something. It's not just going to happen. You've got to do your part. Whatever you're doing now is not a judgment from God. Don't go about condemning yourself as though you're getting penalized for failing. Stop thinking that God is making you pay for your sin. Why can't you see that you're going through something right now as a result of the love he has for you? Do you feel like you're being dragged down? Are you in pain? Are you suffering? Great. That's the evidence of God's love toward you. Submit to that. Take up your cross. Be prepared to go down and further even more. Be ready to go deeper into your crisis. Get ready to reach the end of yourself. Be prepared to give it up and hit rock bottom. Sometimes we got to hit rock bottom to know who the rock is. And last time I checked, Jesus Christ is my rock. Even Jesus laid his cross down. He knew he couldn't go another step. He knew he couldn't go further. He knew he didn't have the energy to get up. He knew that he was beaten down. He knew that all his options were done. He was toast. He was done. He laid his cross down, and for him, Simon appears. For us, a Savior appears. We get up and we go on. It's still our cross, but now it's on his shoulders. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him. Ecclesiastes 4, 9, and 10. You know, my brothers and sisters, I talk about taking up the cross today. You know, what I wanted to show you is that sometimes we go through trials and tribulations, not because of what we've done, but because of what God is trying to do through us. Sometimes God takes a little bit longer for others because that's just the way it is. We all didn't graduate from sixth grade the same, just like we're all not going to get released from prison on the same day. Some of us, it takes a little longer. Some of us, a little quicker. But you have to know, my brothers and my sisters, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you're made right with God, and it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. As the scriptures tell us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring the good news. Romans 10, 9 through 14. If you get an opportunity and you're behind the walls and you get able to go to a chapel service or a Bible study, thank the volunteer that is there. Thank the volunteer for coming to bring you the love of Jesus. Thank that volunteer for bringing you the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank that volunteer for bringing the good news to you, because they are the messenger from the Lord. They are telling you about the goodness of Jesus Christ. And if you're not ready to listen at that time, that's fine. Because you know why? The volunteers that I serve with, of all the various churches and all the different ministries, we come because we love you, but we come because the Lord loves us. He has put it upon our heart to come and set the captives free. You know, it's only if the world got you where you're at right now, my brothers and sisters, the word will deliver you. If the world got you where you're at right now, my brothers and sisters, the word will deliver you. It is the love of Jesus Christ that compels us to come in. It is the love of Jesus Christ that brings us to you weekly, daily, to help you, to enrich you, to share with you the good news. You know, I'll be closing in a prayer here real shortly, but I wanted to thank you for tuning in tonight. Sometimes our challenge is we don't know what our cross is. You know, we think it's one thing, but it could be another thing. But you got to know, even Jesus didn't carry his cross all the way. He was beaten down. He was tired. He was exhausted. He was physically mutilated from the beating. And someone had to reach down and lift his cross. My brothers and sisters, my beloved, we will not know the love of Christ until we die to self. We cannot do it on our own. It's not all about us. It's all about him. You see, Jesus laid his cross down and Simon picked it up. We lay our cross down and Jesus picks us up. Through one of your volunteers, through one of your chaplains, through one of your ministers or your pastors. Love on them the next time. Thank them. For they don't have to come in to give you the good news, but they do because the Lord loves them. Until the next time, my brothers and sisters, be safe, be blessed. You're too blessed to be stressed. Ahuiho, and remember, to God be the glory.
You've been listening to Free Inside with Brother Bulla Eastman. We hope tonight's message has blessed and encouraged you. If so, we'd love to hear from you. Email Brother Bulla at freeinsideministry@gmail.com or call 222-2822. That's freeinsideministry@gmail.com or call 222-2822. This program was sponsored by Honolulu Ford and by First Assembly of God Honolulu. Remember, if the sun sets you free, you shall be free indeed. Free inside. Until tomorrow night at this same time, may God be with you.